You better not be leaving. Now listen, boys and girls, I want to talk as seriously to you for about 2 minutes as I can. See that man right there in the gray suit? Stand up if you need to see him, okay? Stand up, right there. That man right there, you see him? All right. If you don't behave, and if you're not quiet, right there, this one, you wouldn't believe what he's going to do to you. You remember that book called The Grinch That Stole Christmas? Did you ever hear of it? That's the Grinch's grandfather right there. That old man somehow got into the youth choir. Now you tell me how that happened. He's 3 days older than most fossils. He got into the youth choir. I don't know how it happened. It's about time you showed it. Nice to be with you this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. 22 minutes left, and no, I'm not going to need any extra time. That's all I'm going to take. And I will make up for it some other time. Believe me. And I'm here for 2 weeks afterwards, Lord willing, and so some night if I go a few minutes overtime, and you all come up as you always do at the door, and you say, hey, sure went over tonight. I said, blame it on Graylin. Blame it on Graylin. This was my time. So I may need it during the next couple of weeks. John 14. Verse number 5. Does everybody have it? No. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, who knows what's next? The life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now tomorrow with the older people, even though they're here today, tomorrow with the older people, we're going to be talking about four different people between the end of chapter 13 and into chapter 14, four completely different types of people. And you know, amongst everything else that we could talk about in that, I'm really encouraged because the simple fact is they're very different kinds of people. And it proves to me that God uses a lot of different types of people. Now we have some little people here today. We have some older people here today. We have some very skinny people, and we have some that aren't. And we have some very tall people, and we have some short people. And we have people like me that are very shy and bashful. And we have other people, and they're an awful lot quieter. Well, they're an awful lot louder than some of us. And they just have never met a stranger. And you might be like that, and I'm looking even in this front row here, and I see some people that fit some of those categories. I see a little boy and a little girl on this row right here, and what I know about them is they're not too bashful. They come right up and they talk, and they don't care. And that's neat. But there are others, and they're a lot quieter, aren't they? You're just sort of shy. I'm like that too. It's very difficult to meet people. And I just sort of sit there and mind my own business and let people come up and talk to me. And I know what it's like. So, actually I was that when I was younger. Very shy. You might not believe that today. But God uses all kinds of people. Wherever you're from, however old you are, what your mom and dad are like, what your house is like, what your family life has been like, all of these things are not an accident. God has used them. And he has brought you right to this point just to use you. And that's one of the great lessons that we learn in John 14. Because we have all kinds of different people in John 14. We have some people, Peter especially, we kind of talked a little bit about him yesterday, but we're going to go back to this tomorrow, Lord willing. Peter was really bold. You know what it means to be bold? Yes, honey. What does it mean to be bold? He ain't got no hair. Give her a prize. Oh, bless you. Oh, my goodness. Bless your heart. That's my last question I'm going to ask you guys today. I'll tell you that much. No more. Oh, that's excellent. Well, honey, that's bald. This is bald right here. Okay? I'm saying bold. B-O-L-E-D. Bold. What's it mean to be bold? What?
strong and tough?
Not big as that.
Bold. It means kind of to be fearless. It means not to be afraid of your own opinions. That's the way Peter was. And there are others. Poor Thomas, we're going to talk about him tomorrow. Anybody ever hear about doubting Thomas? Put your hand up if you ever heard about doubting Thomas. Not one of the adults here knows about doubting Thomas. They told me, and this was sort of a surprise, maybe I just missed it when Graylin called me, I didn't know what open Sunday school meant. So I came here expecting to speak to the adults. And they said, no, you got to get down to the three-year-olds. And I said, well, a lot of the adults here, if I get down to that level, they'll finally understand something this weekend. But, no, there's some, and you know what doubting Thomas is all about. And I tell you, I don't like that term, doubting Thomas. I kind of call him normal Thomas. At least he's a lot like I am sometimes. And he sort of, he needs a lot of extra care and attention. And some people are like that. Listen, young people, let's get serious for a minute. I don't care how you are today, whether you're one way or the other, in between, God has something for you to do. But there's a very special thing that has to happen in all of your lives before God can use you like He wants to. And I think you know it as the new birth. It's called born again or saved. And so the Lord Jesus said this to Thomas. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We could stand here today in our next 12, 13 minutes or whatever. We could stand here and we could say, well, you know, there are some people that you'll meet in the world and they say this. And there are other people that you meet in the world and they say that the way to get to God is that. And so on and so forth. I have books at home in my library on comparative religions. And they're good. I think you need to read them the older you get so that you can deal with people when you witness to them who don't agree with you or believe something different. And that's all well and good. But we're not going to waste the time today to even talk about what other religions or other groups of people say. And you know why? Because the only thing that counts is what does God say? And God says, through His Son, the Son of God, He said, I am a way? Is that what He said? Why did you shake your head no? What did He say? I am. You got it. The way. The truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I think you all know that, and you've heard it if you've grown up in this Sunday school. I know your teachers have told you, and even older ones here today, I know that if you come and you understand the gospel and it's preached here week after week after week, let alone the last 2 nights. Great goodness, I can't imagine anybody sitting in these last 2 evening meetings and leaving without Christ. I can't believe it. And then I also go back in my own life and I say, yeah, Parks, and guess what? You sat in meetings that were maybe sort of like that, as far as the power in the gospel that went forth, and what did you do? You left unsaved. And so I guess it's possible still, even to this day, to sit and listen to the gospel that goes forth just like that, and leave without trusting Christ. A lot of things come into our minds. A lot of things that we see, a lot of things we hear, a lot of things that people tell us. And they distract us from what we should be thinking about. And if you ever want to get to heaven, if you ever want to see Jesus, if you ever want to see some of your friends maybe, some of your loved ones who are there waiting for you, then the Lord Jesus said concerning this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, but through me. And of course, very shortly after he spoke these words, the final stages were put into place for the crucifixion and his burial, and thank God his resurrection from the dead. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I hope all of you boys and girls and younger people, older ones this morning, have that moment that you can look back to when you trusted Christ. For me, it was when I was just 2 months shy of 13. And I'll never forget it. And you know, I had an old grandmother, and she really got up there. She was 3 months less than that, shy of 100 when God called her home. She was 99 years and 9 months and 3 days old when she went out to meet the Lord. And she was saved as a little girl in the town of Renfrew, Scotland. And I've been in that town and I've stood, it's all torn down now, but I stood right on the spot where supposedly my grandmother was saved. And you know, for the last 13 years of her life, some of you this weekend are accusing me of having Alzheimer's. Thank you so much. I've had about 5 of you tell me that. Because I've forgotten certain things. So maybe I am getting it, but I don't know whether she had that or something else, but for about the last 13 years, she couldn't remember something that you told her 5 minutes before. She just couldn't. But every time that we wanted to, we'd go into her room, we'd say, "Hey, Nanny, can you tell us about the night you got saved?" And she went back more than 88 years to a little town called Renfrew in Scotland. And there in that room, and she would describe the wallpaper and the walls. She would describe the lamp. She described what the carpet was on the floor. And she told us everything about the room and what the person was like, the man that was like that she talked to, a preacher who was having meetings there at the little church of Scotland where she came and where she went and where she got saved that night. She told us everything about it 88 years before, and if we asked her what we'd ask her 5 minutes before, she just wouldn't even know. You see how memorable it is? All of the things in life that we want you to remember. We want more than anything else for you to remember the day that you found the Lord Jesus to be the way and the only way to God and the truth and the life. There's a man named Pilate, Pontius Pilatus. There are a number of people here. And they have stood in Caesarea, alongside the sea, and they have seen a stone. It's actually a copy of it, but it's a stone. It's kind of broken that the stonemasons of Tiberias carved, and it was a monument to Pontius Pilatus. Pontius Pilate, he was the Roman governor. It's the only thing they've ever found in all of Israel that proves that Pontius Pilate lived there. And I think you might have heard his name before. He was the person that the Lord Jesus had to appear before, just before his crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus stood there quietly in front of Pilate. Pilate had an interesting question for him. He said, "What is truth?" A lot of people today say, with all the things that we get from every different vantage point, and everybody's saying this and that and the other thing, some people saying, "You're all right for heaven." Other people say, "You're not quite all right, but if you work hard enough, you will be." Other people say, "You need to be baptized to get to heaven." And on it goes, all this stuff that people say. You might maybe be sitting there today saying, "Well, what is truth?" Well, let me tell you what the Bible says is truth. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll tell you something, young people, because I was one once a long time ago, young people don't think much about dying. Young people are dying. Young people are dying, I think, in greater numbers today through accidents in the life. Maybe not as much through disease, at least in the West. Young people are dying today more than I ever remember. I've had young people that I've looked at, the youngest actually 16, and I've had old people that I've looked at, the oldest 96. Five different people now. I've been the last person that they've looked at, the last voice they've heard in the gospel, because before they had another opportunity, they were out into heaven, or at least into eternity, in the ages of 16 through 96. And so we have to be very cautious of this. Young people can still die, and the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. And so the Lord Jesus said, but the gift of God, or Paul says, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way." How many people today, hands up, wait a minute, hands up, how many people don't ever want to meet God or the Lord Jesus? Don't ever want to meet him. Hands up. No hands up. Guess what? You don't have a choice in that. You know that? Because you're sitting there and I'm standing here and we're living, breathing people, little or big. By virtue of that, every one of us are going to meet God. Did you know that? What? But now the simple but very profound thing is, how are you going to meet him? One of two ways. Either bearing your sins or having them all forgiven. One of two ways. And oh, I hope there's not one person here this morning who just meets God, having neglected their own soul, meets him bearing their own sins. No, said the Lord Jesus to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." See, the Lord Jesus answered this to Thomas, because he had said in verse number 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And whither I go," verse 4, "you know, and the way you know." But Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know. We have no idea. If you're going to go away, how do we know where you're going? How can we follow you?" So the Lord Jesus said, "Thomas, listen, I'm the way.
and I'm the truth, and I'm the life.
You can't reach the Father except through me.
You know, that hasn't changed, and it's been now about 1,960 years. And it's still the same message.
And the same message that we give you today is the same message that the Lord Jesus gave Thomas.
He's still the way to God.
And there's only one way that a person can know sins forgiven. As our brother pointed out the other night, the first thing that we have to do is to repent. To actually tell God how sorry we are for our sins.
Now, hands up.
Anybody here never committed a sin?
Hey, boys and girls, your parents are watching.
Hands up. If you never committed, you never did? I've always wanted to meet somebody like you. Now I want to meet your mom and dad.
And we'll find out whether or not.
Listen, we're born in sin. We can't help it. Every one of us are sinners.
Some of us worse than others. But to have our sins forgiven, first of all, we have to repent from sin.
And thank God, then very simply, just trust the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. I have a preacher friend. You know how old he was when he was saved? 4 years old. A brother was telling us the other day or other night, I forget now when it was, about Fanny Crosby. That great songwriter. They say that she wrote almost 20,000 poems, and 8,000 of her poetry, 8,000 of her hymns, were set to music at one time or another. 8,000 of them. That dear lady, Fanny Crosby, was saved when she was 4 years old. And I've met other people, and they've been saved at 5.
Anybody here that was less than 4 or 4 or under when they were saved? Any of the adults here 4 or under when you were saved?
Is that right? Unbelievable. See, young people can be saved. We have to acknowledge our sin, much as you understand about it, and trust Christ as Savior, and we hope you will today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me.
Father, we're thankful today for the blessings of the gospel and for the simplicity of it. We realize, Father, that even though it's a simple message, it sometimes is anything but easy. We pray, Father, for the young people here. We see such promise before us. And it's the desire of our hearts that not one of them will leave this Sunday school without having accepted Christ as Savior. We think, Father, of older ones, and there might even be adults with us, and they have never had that moment when they've trusted Christ. So, Father, it's the desire of our heart. It's a fervent desire this weekend. It'd be a wonderful thing to look back on this 28th annual Whitsuntide Conference as the very moment when they passed from darkness the glorious light of the new birth.
And so, our Father, grant that as the gospel is held forth the rest of this day, there might be preparation done in hearts, that the unsaved, even this day, will turn to the Savior and trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior too. These things we pray in our Savior's name.